present Robert Young and Herbert Marshall in your theater of romance from Hollywood.
This is Herbert Marshall. It is my pleasurable assignment to tell you something about the Enchanted Cottage, brought to you by our double sponsors, Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo, and presented tonight on your theater of romance. You will recall, I'm sure, the magical atmosphere of the cottage that was all that remained of a fire-swept estate built long ago on these New England shores, and that one wing, miraculously saved from destruction, which had served traditionally for many generations as a honeymoon cottage. Here, then, is a story of that enchanted cottage with myself in the role of the blind composer John Hillgrove and as Oliver Bradford, my good friend Robert Young.
Tonight's presentation of your theater of romance, Robert Young and Herbert Marshall in the Enchanted Cottage, brought to you by Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo.
By the time I first came upon the Enchanted Cottage, its gracious tradition had been abandoned and all but forgotten. And it was not until Laura Pennington first came to the cottage that I began to feel perhaps the meaning of its strange enchantment would reveal itself. There are times when even blindness has its compensation. To me, Laura was a beautiful person. To others, I suppose she was a haggard little drudge with stringy hair, a sallow complexion, and worst of all, that hopeless look of a person who is aware of some fatal shortcoming. Later, when we had become close friends, I learned something of what she had suffered, especially that day when Oliver Bradford came to show the cottage to his prospective bride, the lovely, the beautiful, the spoiled and pampered Beatrice.
But Oliver, the place is so small.
Why, I thought it was just right for the two of us, darling.
Is there a dining room, Mrs. Minnis?
No, there isn't.
I thought we could dine by the fire, dear.
Oh, would you like to see upstairs?
Yes, you go along, darling. I've already seen it.
Oh, all right. It's just this way,
miss. Doesn't your fiancé like the cottage, Mr. Bradford?
Oh, that's just her way. Oh, they're nice old things in this room. This goblet. This is really old, isn't it?
The first owner gave that to his favorite son and his wife. They drank a toast from it on their wedding night.
You mean just the two of them killed it?
So the story goes.
I'll bet they didn't need a candle to light their way to bed. You must have been here for quite a while with Mrs. Minnis.
Oh, no. I came only this morning.
But you know so much about the cottage.
When I was a child, I heard all the stories there were about it. It was like living in a fairy tale.
Next thing you'll be telling me it's haunted.
Oh, no, it's not haunted. It is enchanted. You see, all the people who lived here loved one another. Look, here are their names engraved on the glass of this window.
Elizabeth and Michael, 1780. Cecilia and Edward, 1784. Just look at all of them. All the way up to Abigail and Tom, 1917. Why did it stop?
Abigail was Mrs. Minnis.
Oh.
The house was deeded to her and her husband on their wedding day. They never got to live there together.
Why not?
He was shipped overseas the same day they were married. Never came back. That's why I hope.
Really, Oliver, the place is much too small. It's charming.
Now, darling,
but
don't say that.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. But I thought when we went on our honeymoon, well, Santa Barbara or Aiken or Bar Harbor, I'll admit this is all very charming.
Charming? It's much more than that. It's enchanted. Isn't it enchanted, Mrs.?
Oh, darling. Of course, if it's what you want.
That's better. Now, before you change your mind, let me have your ring, will you?
My ring?
Your engagement ring. Now that we're going to settle down here for a bit, I think we ought to keep up all the good traditions.
What are you talking about?
This is a diamond. I'm going to scratch our names on the window right under this cover. Phyllis and Harold. Do you think Phyllis and Harold would like us for neighbors?
I'm sure they would, Mr. Bradford.
Good. And here goes. Uh-oh.
What happened?
The stone fell out of the ring.
Here it is.
Oh, thanks. I'll have it reset for you, darling.
Well, I suppose if I were superstitious, I'd regard this as a warning that we shouldn't marry at all. Is that one of the traditions, Mrs. Minnie?
You're not married yet. That's why. Only honeymoon couples may write their names on that window.
Well, we won't have to wait long for that. And then you're going to have us on your hands for quite a spell. At least till they ship me overseas, and I really don't expect that for another 3 months.
It may be sooner than you think, Mr. Bradford. Yes. It may be sooner than you think.
Mrs. Minnett's words were prophetic. Oliver's leave was canceled quite suddenly the following day, and his squadron was ordered almost immediately to the sickle of the fighting over the Southwest Pacific. Hardly time to say goodbye, much less for a wedding. And when he returned to the Enchanted Cottage, he came alone. He didn't come downstairs to supper that night, so Mrs. Minnett sent Laura up with a tray for him.
It's I, Mr. Bradford. Laura.
Please go away.
I brought you some supper.
I'm not hungry. Go away, please.
Well, now you've seen what you came to see. Get out.
I'll just put the tray down here. It's roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. Mrs. Minnett thought she'd like that.
Oh, she did, didn't she?
Mrs. Minnett's a very good cook.
Now look here, Miss.
Laura. Laura Pennington.
Well, Laura, I suppose both you and Mrs. Minnett think I'm behaving very badly. But don't you understand? You think I want people to see me the way I am?
Because of the way you've changed?
Changed? That's one way of putting it. Doesn't it shock you? Repel you at all?
No.
Oh, you can't know. You can't realize what it is to face life like this. Ugly and...
It's all right, Mr. Bradford. I know I'm not pretty. I've known it all my life.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Your supper, Mr. Baxter.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Bradford.
Yes, what is it?
This is Mr. Hillgrove. He's come to see you.
I told you I didn't...
Forgive me for intruding on you in this way, but my brother-in-law, Dr. Stanton, suggested that since we're the neighbors, we might also be friends.
I'm not much good at friendship or anything else these days.
Sick man, aren't you?
Don't I look like one?
I wouldn't know. I'm blind.
Oh. I'm sorry. Perhaps you'd like to sit down.
Thank you. Yes, I got mine on the last war, shot down over the Argonne. They tell me you're a flyer, too.
I was. I got mine over Java.
You're young. Old men.
Oh, don't be absurd. You can't see me. There's nothing left of me but nerves. I'm done for.
Go right ahead. Complain all you want if it makes you feel better.
Apparently, you don't complain.
You haven't given me a chance.
How can you be so cheerful? How in the name of heaven have you stood it all these years?
Being blind? By cultivating other senses. It's a fascinating game. It opens up new worlds for you. Sometimes I feel it was before the Argonne that I was blind. And it's only now I can really see.
I don't believe you. Maybe you've kidded yourself into thinking it's true. Maybe for you it is true. But it would never work for me.
Why not?
Because I still want the same things I wanted when I was strong and healthy. In the hospital, I used to sit at my window where I could see some kids playing tennis. I'd watch them for a while. Till I just couldn't stand it any longer.
I battered my head against many a wall, just the way you're doing. Then I found music, and a whole new life opened up for me. You will find something to believe in.
But how? Where shall I look?
You've got to have faith in yourself, first of all. You're a person, you know, not just a case. Some people find new talents within themselves, as I did. Others find new friends, and through them, a new life. Well, I mustn't overstay my first visit. If you'll show me to the gate, I believe I can find my way from there.
Let me walk home with you.
Oh, no, no.
I'd like to.
That's very kind of you.
Not at all. You know, Hillgrove, it's the first time I really felt like talking to anyone.
Kinga. Here comes Jill Smith. Quick, let's dodge him.
But, Mary, I thought you liked Jill.
I do. I mean, I did before that little breath of trouble got him.
Well, here's hoping that Jill lets Colgate tooth powder help him get back in Mary's good graces. You see, anyone can be the victim of a breath of trouble. I mean, unpleasing breath. It happens to thousands without their knowing, marks them down socially, brings them unhappiness, and they seldom suspect the real reason. Don't let that breath of trouble catch up with you. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder in 7 cases out of 10 instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And when it comes to cleansing, money can't buy a benefit looking your teeth better or quicker than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Now, Colgate tooth powder and Halo shampoo bring you the second act of The Enchanted Cottage, starring Robert Young and Herbert Marshall.
During that summer, I became close friends with Oliver Bassett. In the company of Laura and me, he was able to forget for hours at a time that he'd been maimed and disfigured. In the fall, I had to leave Eastwood for a time to go on a concert tour. When I returned, I was not surprised to hear that Laura and Oliver had been married. But I was surprised at what they had to tell me.
I don't know how to explain it, John, but something has happened to Laura and me. Something, well, pretty nearly incredible. We've changed.
Changed completely.
I can tell that from your voices. You feel different because you're happy.
Well, it's more than that. It's a physical change.
A physical change? When did you first notice this transformation?
The day we were married, when we came home. Mrs. Minnis met us at the door. She couldn't seem to take her eyes off us.
And then you realized that...
No, not then. It was later that night after our wedding dinner. Mrs. Minnis said goodnight and left us alone. It was a farce. A tragic farce. We sat there in silence until we couldn't endure it for another moment. Laura got up from the table and went over to the piano. I suppose she thought that with music there'd be no need to talk. But as she started to play, a strange thing happened. There was a new warmth, new radiance. I could feel the room changing. And as she played, the feeling of enchantment spread, embracing everything around us. I looked at Laura, and she turned to face me. She was changed. There was no trick of the moonlight. She was beautiful.
And Oliver was just as I saw him that first day, and with everything I'd ever dreamed of.
And what does Mrs. Minnis think of all this?
She knows. She never looks at us. She avoids us as we avoid her. But she knows about the change.
The cottage belongs to her. She lives in the past. She knows it's different.
Laura. Oliver.
Yes?
Yes, John?
Take this gift and enjoy it without question. Accept it humbly as a heaven-sent miracle. But don't talk to anyone about it. It belongs to you.
But we want everybody to know. We're going to be married again. And my mother's coming down here to see us.
Won't she be surprised when she sees the change?
Oliver, don't you think your mother ought to be prepared? I think I should explain it to her before she sees you.
I don't know why not.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Look.
Oliver, I love you so much.
Isn't she wonderful, John?
You're both wonderful. Friend of Oliver's and Laura's. They've asked me to have a little talk with you and explain something.
Does he want to see me?
Oh, on the contrary, it's just that. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but there's an old legend about some people who lived in a city of eternal night. They were blind, all of them, as I am blind. Their city was in ruins, yet they saw it as a fallen citadel. But it's a great and beautiful dwelling place, greater and more beautiful than it will ever be. That was because they looked upon their city, not with their eyes, but with the pure sight of the heart. That's the way it is with Oliver and Laura. They're simply different people.
Different? How? You mean their appearance?
Yes, but I know the change as they see it is not as you will see it. Let me put it this way. No matter what they say or do, will you act along with them, please? They don't know it, but they're playing a part. Play along with them. Pretend that the change is as great as they imagine it is.
Oh, I knew something like this would happen. Oliver's ill. He's not well in his mind.
Mrs. Bradford, listen to me. Actually, it would be better if you were to go away without seeing him at all.
Are you serious? Are you urging that I, his mother, should desert him at a time like this? Where is Oliver? Oliver.
Please, Mrs. Bradford.
Oliver, come down here at once.
We'll be right down, Mother.
Please remember, the next few minutes may be the most important in their lives. You hold their chance for happiness in your hands.
I don't like all this mystery.
Mystery? What mystery? Hello, Mother.
Bonnie, darling.
Mother, this is my wife, Laura.
I'm so glad you've come to see us, Mrs. Bradford.
How do you do?
I'll ring for Mrs. Minnick. She's prepared a lovely tea.
This is going to be a real celebration, Mother. Outside of John here, you're the first to know about it.
Oliver, darling, I really think...
Poor Mother's a shock to you, isn't it? But you'll soon get used to the change. You won't even remember us as we were. Laura and I joke about it now.
Oliver!
What is it, Mother?
Oh, my poor boy. You poor, poor darling.
Well, Mother, just because you're happy is no reason...
Forgive me, darling. If you're really happy... Well, I guess that's all that happens. I'm glad he married you, Laura, dear. Believe me, I am. Because it's clear you're such a loyal girl and have so much to give him. Oh, so much more than just a pretty girl. And it's so important you found this cottage so you won't have to see people who might not understand.
What is there to understand, Mother?
Why, the brave way you're pretending, that's all. How do you like your tea, Mrs. Bradford? Lemon? Please? Oh, you mustn't bother about tea, Laura. You mustn't. I couldn't swallow a mouthful. Oh, I mean, I've got a headache coming on. You'll excuse me, won't you, if I just run along?
But, Mother, I...
Goodbye, you poor darling. Oh, you poor, poor darling.
I hope I could spare you this.
I don't understand.
You've known the truth about us, haven't you, John? You've known all along. Yes, I have.
But you can't be sure. Call Mrs. Minnick, Oliver.
Mrs. Minnick? Mrs. Minnick?
Yes, Mr. Bradford. Oh, she's gone already.
Yes. Mrs. Minnick, we want you to tell us something. We want the truth, you understand?
Yes.
Mrs. Minnick, have you, at any time since our marriage, noticed any change in our appearance?
Why, I haven't taken much notice of you at all.
Have you seen any change whatever?
No.
Look at it. There is no change now?
None.
Why didn't you tell us before?
Now that you know, would you have had me tell you sooner? There was nothing I could have done or can do now.
But the cottage, there was an enchantment here. And you said you knew the secret.
Shall I tell you the secret? Shall I?
Tell us.
Tell us.
You love each other. You've fallen in love. And a man and woman in love have a gift of second sight that isn't granted to other people. That's the charm. That's the secret to the only enchantment this cottage holds.
Oliver, look at me.
You'll always be beautiful to me.
Nothing can ever change the way I feel about you. You know that, don't you, Oliver? And Oliver?
Yes, dear.
We've never written our name on the window. Do you realize?
Must have been because we were never quite sure. Until now. We'll write them there tonight. Somehow I think now they'd want us to.
You have just heard Robert Young and Herbert Marshall in the Robert Tallman adaptation of The Enchanted Cottage, a presentation of Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo on this, your theater of romance. In a moment, Mr. Marshall will be back with his guest star, Mr. Robert Young.
Hello, everybody, hello. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So hello, everybody, halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For soap shampoos, leave a film on your hair. But Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. The very first time you use Halo, you'll notice your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The deep, full, natural color and luster comes sparkling through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in the hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff, grease, and dirt. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film. Nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So hello, everybody, hello. Halo shampoo.
Colgate Tooth Powder for breast and sweet, Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair, express their thanks to RKO Studios for the privilege of presenting The Enchanted Cottage. Newest RKO Pictures will bring you Herbert Marshall in Crack Up and Robert Young in Lady Luck. Bob Young will also soon be seen in 20th Century Fox's Claudia and David. Now, here is Bart Marshall.
I hope everyone enjoyed our radio version of The Enchanted Cottage as much as I, for one, enjoyed participating in the telling of that very strange and very magical love story. And it was good to re-experience, even for so short a time, the very agreeable sensation of working with an actor who makes his character live so vividly. Here he is, Robert Young.
Thanks for the kind words, Bart. If I thought you meant half of them, I'd be embarrassed. But all kidding aside, it's been swell working with you again, and I'd like to add a good word for Loreen Tuttle, who so capably took over the role Dorothy McGuire played in RKO's version of The Enchanted Cottage. Next week, listeners to Theater Romance will hear James Hilton's magnificent story, Random Harvest, starring one of America's favorite stars, Don Ameche. Good night, good listening.
Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo, Bulletin for the Future. Next week, Charles Bandit's production of Theater of Romance brings you Jane Tilton's Random Harvest, starring Don Ameche. These presentations of Theater of Romance come to you because of your enthusiastic recognition of Colgate Tooth Powder for a breast that's sweet
and Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair.
Keep a date with Theater of Romance for all the weeks to come. You will always hear your favorite stars. This is your host, Herbert Marshall, saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
Keep it up, ladies. Keep on saving your used cooking fat. Secretary of Agriculture Clinton T. Anderson says, it is just as important now as when fats and oils were rationed to save and turn in every bit of used kitchen fat. Used fats continue to be one of our most important sources of supply for the manufacture of soap and for other industrial uses. It may be many months before we can obtain adequate supplies of imported fats and oils for these uses. Remember, too, fat is needed in the manufacture of nylons, textiles, electrical appliances, baby carriages, and scores of other peacetime products. Well, ladies, now that you can get more meat, you'll have more surplus cooking fat. Don't waste it. Sell it to your butcher. He'll give you 4 cents a pound. Just remember, where there's fat, there's soap and other products you need. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.